You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, sisters, deacons, brothers and sisters of the divine will, and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. Actually, we're without Mother today, but we are with the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, at least five of them for today. That's going to be fun. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and we're going to be using a supplication. The supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, again, just grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time, and to be here on Radio Maria, and to be with the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. I think if you had to describe a day, your perfect day would probably be where we are right now. And remembering Radio Maria, in all our prayers, in our checkbook, of course, which helps. And again, remember, Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. I'd like to throw something out there before we begin, because I'm going to forget. Anyone who makes a pledge today, either a reoccurring pledge or a single pledge to Radio Maria, will receive a Luisa Picaretta relic prayer card. It actually has a piece of Luisa's clothing in it. This is from the Archdiocese of Trani. So it's official. It's beautiful. I can't show it to you because we're on radio. But anyone making a pledge today, again, you can do that by going to radiomaria.us or simply calling 888-408-0201. And anyone will receive that relic card if you can just help us out a little bit. We all have that little bit of disposable income. We're not looking for it all. We're looking for just a little bit. But I am looking for all of the sisters who are with us right now. And, you know, sisters, I've been so, my mind has been so occupied with what, again, Father Celso reminds us that every time we go further into this gift of the divine will, that God just he sticks another sticky note in our mind, and we can't get it off. And I can't help shake, and I'm grateful that I can't shake it. You know, the two things that we're talking about. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful programs on the divine will that teach us the intricacies and really the norms of what this gift is. I think we fail to realize, and I think God keeps trying to give us that little inclination, how really easy this can be if we allow God to work. And as God says, get out of my way, let me work, as he tells Luisa. And the two things that I'd like to just point out really quickly is Jesus explains to us, he gives us the beautiful hint. He tells us, what do we need to receive this gift? And it's found in volume 23, November 27th, 1927. I'll just scratch the surface if I may. This is our blessed Lord speaking. Quote, my daughter, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine fiat, the divine will, is to move God to decide to give my divine will reigning in the midst of creatures. When God moves and decides, he overcomes and conquers everything, even evils themselves. End quote. Stop there. So God wants us to have this more than we want to receive it. We have to move God. How do we move God? How are we moved? We're moved when somebody loves us, right? When somebody trusts us, when somebody confides in us, when somebody asks us for our assistance, when somebody loves us. God showing us through his humanity, Christ's humanity, that those same attributes, that's all we can give God right now, are what we have temporally. But that's what he's looking for. And it's so beautiful because each of us are able to give this if we want to. And the second part, he also says is, if you want this gift, you must receive it in order to give it to others. It's not us giving it, but we act as a conduit. We act as a cog, in essence. The second point, sisters, before I throw it over to you in Italy, is this sounds maybe overwhelming, but it's not. Jesus explains to us in volume 11 how he's going to do this. And he says to Louisa, quote, my daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. In all conditions, available in all circumstances, and available in every place. So there's no place to avoid this opportunity, except if we choose to avoid it. It's like the sun being out, and we want to receive the sunshine. Well, we go outside. But if we want to avoid the sunshine, we go inside. Let's all go outside to receive the sunshine because God wants to give it. Again, he wants to give it to us more than we want this. Sisters, it's such a blessing to be together. Who's first, the Sister Magdalena or Sister Gloria?
Well, I don't know. They pointed at me, so I guess I will do it. Anyway, Peter, we're kind of a little bit, you know, because Mother is not here, but you said in the beginning, it's very, even though Mother is not here, but this is the perfect time. Because like Mother always reminds us, the sacrament of the moment. Because if we offer this moment right now, as we speak and gather and talk about the divine will, if you offer this in the divine will, do it in the divine will, then this is the perfect moment. Even though Mother is not here, it's still the perfect moment. And so I just wanted to kind of remind myself on that one. And also,
That's true.
Okay. Well, it was a beautiful thing that you shared with us in the volume. I think I've decided, actually, I read this November 27, 1927, 20, volume 23. I've decided that this is probably one of my favorite chapter or passage.
Yeah, because I agree.
It seems like it because it contains everything, you know, like you read earlier so beautifully. But if you really look at it, I also can't help but think about permissive will and the divine will. You know, everything is God's will, even though we don't want, you mentioned about those who do not want to take it, but they are still alive. Their heart is beating. They're breathing. They're enjoying the sun. They're enjoying everything in the world, even though they don't want to receive the gift of the divine will. But God gave them the permissive will. So everything is divine will. The only difference, though, is that in permissive will, they take as if, but it's not their rights. You know, they don't have the right as a daughter, as a son. They act as if they are a slave or a hired person so that they would avail the goods, but it does not, it's not capable of generating. It is not capable of producing another life. So, you know, I just wanted to kind of think about this. You know, everything is divine will. No matter what it is divine volition. And for us who wants to live in the divine will and desires to live in the divine will, actually not just desiring, but actually calling the divine will to act in everything that I do and everything that I want, it's divine will taking over me. And because I am no longer operating, but the divine will operating in me, that generates. A good example with the same passage here is our Blessed Mother. You know, it even mentions, you know, the history of redemption. Can I go ahead and read this, Peter? Because this is really beautiful. It's towards the end of the passage.
Yeah, please, sister. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, the example here that Jesus gave us is the redemption, okay? He said, the same happened in redemption. Sin was flooding the earth. The very people called the people of God was the smallest people, and if it seemed that it occupied itself with it, it was a superficial way. In fact, they did not possess within themselves the life of the Redeemer whom they were asking for. It can be said that they occupy themselves just like today the church, consecrated people and religious occupy themselves by reciting the Our Father. But the fullness of the life of my will that they ask for in the Our Father is not in them. Therefore, their petition ends up in words, but not in facts. So for many, many years, people were praying for their redemption, but it didn't happen until the Blessed Mother did her fiat 100%. So it didn't happen until the perfect woman completely lived in the divine will. And I'll continue here the example. But when the Queen of Heaven came, who possess the fullness of the divine life, everything she asked for the good of the people, moved God, conquered him, made him decide. And in spite of the evils that were present, the eternal word came upon earth by means of she who already possessed him, as he formed the whole of her life. With the fullness of this divine life, she was able to move God, and so came the good of redemption. What all others together were not able to obtain, she obtained. The sovereign queen who had conquered first within herself, her creator, and the fullness of all the goods that she was asking for others, and being the conqueror, she had the virtue of being able to impetrate and give the good that she possessed. So there we go. Many years they prayed, but it did. The word of God did not come down because they were partial. You know, it wasn't God wants all of our heart, not just partial. And so until our Blessed Mother came and she fulfilled this. So the word of God, who cannot contain the whole world because, you know, he's God, was able to contain in the womb of Blessed Mother, because the womb of the Blessed Mother becomes heaven for him. Now, it talked about the church here, you know, like we as a people of God, we prayed for many, many years, for 2,000 years. Jesus told us that our Father, the Lord, and we've been praying that for 2,000 years. And has it happened already? Are we living our life perfectly in the divine will? I cannot judge that. But we know Louisa did. So we hope that in Louisa, uniting our acts and rounds through the hands of Blessed Mother, who had lived it perfectly, and also through Louisa, then we hope, and through faith, that faith is the evidence of things unseen that we hope for, then I really should find comfort in that. And then I continue here. Also, like the following paragraph is already what I've given, you know, the difference between the one who does the divine will and the one who lives in the divine will. And I'll continue here. There is a great difference, my daughter, between one who asks and possesses and the one who asks and does not possess the divine life. The first one asks by right. The second does it as alms. And one who asks as alms is given money, lira at the most, but not entire kingdoms. On the other hand, one who asks by right possesses, she is already the owner, the queen of the one who is queen, can be given the kingdom. And because she is queen, she has her divine empire before God to be able to impetrate the kingdom of four creatures. Therefore, I so much recommend to you, and this is to all of us, Jesus says, be attentive, let it form the fullness of its life in you. In this way, we will be able to move God. And when God moves, no one can resist him. I'll give you an example of what I just did tonight. I prayed a rosary as I was meditating on the mysteries. And I said, Lord, I fell asleep. My mind is coming in and out. And I said, how can I make this perfectly in divine will? So I prayed, and using my imagination, not only my imagination, but I asked the Blessed Mother, Jesus, and all this Louisa to pray this in me. So that if my mind goes in and out, because I don't do it on purpose, I'm just weak, I fall asleep maybe, I get tired, I am assured that whatever is lacking in me, Blessed Mother is already doing it in me. Louisa, the Divine Will is doing it in me. So I have nothing to worry. Even my guardian angel is doing it in me. So that gives me comfort. So I think that's one of the things I've learned tonight as I was doing this rosary, imagination and all that. I just called our Blessed Mother. Then I don't worry anymore. And that way I know that I'm living in the Divine Will. Like Mother said, we don't always have the conscious awareness of what we're doing. But early in the morning, we do our prevenient acts. So with our intentions of all the acts that we do for the day, offered in the Divine Will. And then let go, and don't worry, don't get yourself disturbed by anything else.
Yeah, but you know, that's very important when you mention the imagination, because again, God waits for us to prompt him, again, to move him. So Luis explains, and Paolo Nuzzi does this very well in his book, explains that, taking for example Luisa in the Christmas Novena, she used her own imagination to begin that process, and then where the imagination ends, because it's finite, God then will grant us a mystical gift of contemplation, which takes our meditation to a whole different level, a whole different realm. That's what he's doing here to each and every one of us. But again, he waits for us to prompt. You know, another interesting thing too is, you know, what you just explained in that and read there, it's like, again, a silly analogy is like when you lease a car, you have the use of that car, but you don't have the flexibility to do everything you want with it. You can't go over the 10,000 miles without paying a fee. You cannot give the car to somebody because you don't own it. But if you own the car, all your opportunities, all your availability is there because you can do what you want with it. God wants us to possess him. Again, just like the Baltimore Catechism, to know God, to love God, to serve God. And now through the explication, Article 66 of the Catechism, we know that to do all three of those, we need to possess God because that's what God wants. Right, Sister Gloria?
Yes, hello. Today I want to share a passage from Volume 6. It is when Our Lady encountered Jesus carrying the cross on the Calvary. And he also talks about the true spirit of adoration. So Louisa asked Jesus what Our Lady was doing when she encountered Jesus carrying the cross. So this is what Jesus said to her. My daughter, she did nothing but a most profound and simple act of adoration. And since the simpler the act, the more easily it unites with God, most simple spirit. In this act, she infused herself in me and continued what I myself was doing in my interior. This was immensely pleasing to me, more than if she had done any other greater thing. In fact, the true spirit of adoration consists in this. The creature dissolves herself and finds herself in the divine sphere. She adores all that God does, and she unites with him. Do you think that when the mouth adores, but the mind is somewhere else, it is true adoration? That is, the mind adores, but the will is far away from me. Or one power adores me and the others are all disordered. No, I want everything for myself and everything I have given her in me. This is the greatest act of cult of adoration that the creature can do for me. So Jesus wants to live and act in us the way God delights the most. He knows the best way. And we have to do everything in him and with him. You know, first we have to conform ourselves to his humanity. And secondly, we have to put ourselves in the immensity of his will. We should enter in it. And Louisa uses many other different words to explain this. She uses, I enter into your will. I pour myself into your will. I fuse myself. I unite myself into the divine will. I dissolve myself into the divine will. It is very important to understand this concept because it means that we are entering into the mystical will of everything that is existent. And when we go into the will of God, everything is in it. And Jesus says, everything that is in my house is yours. And it reminds me of this gospel of prodigal son. The father said, you know, he said the same thing to his first son. All I have is yours. My son, everything that belongs to me is yours, that belongs to you. So he's saying here, why are you lamenting over just one fatted calf? All livestock is yours. So the problem here in this house was that there was no unity of heart. The first son did not realize that he is the father's true eldest son. And he did not realize that he's the owner of father's property and wealth. This is where our belief should come into play. If we have faith and conviction and enter into the divine with love, everything in his will belongs to us. All is our possession. As long as we are in the divine will, all there is becomes our possession. And we can make all creature our own. We can claim it and we can give them to the Father as if everything is just one creature together. Because it's possible in the divine will. This is what Jesus did when he lived on this earth. He gave all the glory and praise to God the Father in the name of all and also in the name of each individual. Once we give the honor and glory to God the Father that he deserves, we can also give them to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because everything that God our Father has became mine, so we can give our brothers and sisters love and blessings that God wants to give. We are called to do this in the divine will. And this is what Jesus is teaching us. We do this with Jesus. And when we are doing it with Jesus, we are also doing it with Our Lady. Because she's always there where her son is. When we pray in the divine will, it bears lots of fruits, and we can bear lots of fruits in tenfold and hundredfold and thousandfold according to our belief. So believe in Jesus' words and let's carry it out in the divine will.
Right. Just move God. We just need to move God so that he can give us this and give everyone this. It's so beautiful. Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hello. How are you, Peter?
Everything is beautiful. It really is.
Good. I would like to read a passage from volume 29 that it connects well to what you were saying earlier, that in order for God to work in us, that we need to get out our human will out of us, otherwise it cannot work. And it say here, good daughter, courage, you oppress yourself too much, and your oppression causes you to reduce yourself to the extremes and cast you into the sad doubt that your Jesus does not love you and that maybe he will no longer come to you. No, no, I do not want to, this doubt, oppression, doubts, fears are wounds to my love and debilitate your love for me, depriving you of the impetus and the flight to run always towards me in order to love me. And once he continues, the continuous current of love towards me is broken. You remain like a poor, infirm one, and I no longer find the powerful magnet of your continuous love that draws me to you. So it's very important not to worry, because as Mother always say, if you worry, you are out in of the divine will. And this is so true. And especially we hear Jesus say that every time we oppress, we are in doubt. So he suffer because, in other words, we don't trust in him. And So it's very easy to get discouraged nowadays. If you look outside, if you look at the news, so you get discouraged, you lose peace straight away. So that could be a temptation, and we should learn to trust in Jesus. I mean, everything is in control, and so we really have to trust him and to learn also to see always the positive side. I'm sure in everything that happened, even though it's the worst thing in the world, there is always something, even maybe a small thing, a positive thing, and so we should look at it and rejoice maybe in that little thing. And and also Jesus himself is say, the more the more we don't trust him and the more we debilitate your love for me. So the more, if you don't trust a person, then you get further and further of the person. So it's the same with Jesus. If you don't trust him, you get far away from him, and he cannot work. He cannot work easily. I mean, he doesn't have a way to work, because our heart is full of doubts and is of not trust.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting too, because it's such common sense. I mean, we're talking about moving God, and one way not to move God is to say, God, I don't trust you. Or, God, I really don't believe you can do everything that you want to do. I mean, this is exactly the opposite of what we want. Sister Magdalene, it's about like that. It's upside down. It's backwards. You know, also, everything in the divine will is being able to bring us the fullness. Again, we talked about the explication, Article 66. No new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, but it is for what's already been given to be better understood. Just to really point, well, you know what? I'll do this after the break, talking about refuge, because we're talking about that, and a lot of people are talking about that in today's society, and it may not be exactly what we had thought and think, but we'll wait to come back after the break for that. You're listening to Radio Maria, Christian Voice in Your Home. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten, the divine will, moving God to give us everything he wants to give. Be back. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Thank you.
to burn. I've seen the tables turn. I'm on the other side.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. Again, remembering Radio Maria, if anyone has the wherewithal to do so, please, if you can donate to Radio Maria, just call 888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us. Anyone making a pledge today will receive a relic card of Luisa Picanetta, which includes a piece of her clothing. Just wanted to just explain that for a moment. You know, sisters, we're talking about moving God and that God, you know, he's so gratuitous. He loves us so much. He's made this so easy, really. He told us in volume 11 that he had to do this in such a way that this gift might be available in all circumstances, in all conditions, in every place, unless, of course, that the soul did not want this. And again, clarifying everything, I just wanted to just lead off this second part of this program with something that is important, I think, right now. A lot of people are talking about refuges and getting ready to run somewhere and for protection. And what does God do? He turns everything around. He says, wait a minute, you don't have to go looking for any refuge. I found my refuge in you. Volume 35, January 7th, 1938, quote, "See then, in one who lives in our will, we find the refuge of our life, and we do nothing other than exchange our lives continuously. She gives us hers, and we give her ours. In this exchange of life, we find the one who receives ours and gives us hers. We can give something of our own and do whatever we want. We then feel like the God that we are. So the living in our will serves as a refuge, as a theater for our works, as refreshment for the one love and the requital of all creation." End quote. So, for those who cannot walk, for those who cannot see, are they expected to find the refuge? Perhaps not. So what does God do? Says, sit tight, move me, and let me use you, your soul, as our refuge. God says, oh, since you haven't come looking for me, I've come looking for you. And he's found us here on Radio Maria. Back to you, sisters.
Hi, Peter. Yeah.
Hi, sisters.
Hello. As we were talking, you know, to how to press God, how to move God, to bring the kingdom of his divine will upon earth, I just have a passage that talks about that.
And yeah, we were saying how, you know, the soul who moves God first has to have the kingdom of the divine will in herself. Like God wants to make his dwelling in us. So I was just thinking like one example, kind of it reminded me of that. So just last night, I just woke up like at 3 a.m. I mean, it doesn't usually happen, but and I just had this strong feeling, somebody's dying and I need to pray the mercy chaplet, like somebody's dying in a risk of falling into hell. And I mean, I heard of no one that died, but you know, it can be anyone. And so I just asked, you know, not only Jesus and Mary, like fused in the divine will, to pray for that person or persons, but you know, all the saints and all the holy souls in a purgatory, and you know, everyone, and even I like to call all the time, you know, the children of the divine will, the saints of the latter days. Like I always call them in my prayers, because I mean, many times in the volumes it says, you know, they are in the future, but the past, present, and future are one in the divine will. And also kind of like, you know, when I pray for someone specifically, I always call all of them together, you know, in the divine will to pray in me. Even there's one example, like to pray for the unborn souls, no, in limbo, to be freed to go to heaven. And and it kind of reminded me, you know, like you make all these souls a part of your family. We learned that, you know, from the volumes. And I read just recently in this book, the interview by the visionary Maria Sima, yes, how she says, you know, to baptize these unborn souls in order to free them, but then also like to accept them as your own family. So, you know, I kind of feel like in the divine will, everyone is family. Like while you're doing some very simple act, I don't know, you know, being in cooking or being in the adoration, kind of all of them are around you, you know, the holy souls of the purgatory, the, you know, the unborn souls, the saints. And yeah, so I was just reading from the volume 27, October 30, 1929. One who lives in the divine will can go around in all the works of God and acquires the divine rights. So Jesus was telling to Louisa, my daughter, with one who lives in my divine will and forms her acts in it, these acts remain as the work of the creature, binding God to give her the rights of a kingdom so holy, and therefore the rights to make it known and to make it reign upon earth. In fact, the soul who lives in my fiat reacquires all the acts of it, done for love of creatures. God renders her the conqueror not only of his will, but of all creation. There is not one act of it in which the creature does not place her act, be it even one I love you, one I adore you, etc. So having placed something of her own, everything remains bound. And my fiat feels happy because finally it has found a fortunate creature to whom it can give what it wanted to give, with so much love from the very beginning of the creation of all the universe. Yeah, and also Sister Madalena mentioned the imagination. And I really think, you know, if we have desire really to enter into the divine will, and if we renounce our will, God will give us, you know, inspiration, even, you know, help by the imagination, because I believe God gave us imagination to be able to love him more, you know, as we are all different, and he wants to be loved in so many, you know, different ways, individually by each one of us. And then it says, therefore, by living in my divine will, the creature enters into the divine order. She becomes the proprietor of its works, and by right she can give and ask for others what is her own. So, yes, as I was telling this example, you know, that I'm asking all these souls, you know, and the saints and the angels, and sometimes I ask them to pray one for another, like for example, this unborn souls, you know, to pray for those in risk of falling into hell. And then it says, and since she lives in it, her rights are divine, and she asks by a right that is divine, not human. Each of her acts is a call that she makes to her creator, and with his very divine empire, she says to him, give me the kingdom of your divine will, that I may give it to creatures, so that it may reign in their midst, and all of them may love you with divine love, and be all reordered in you. Now you must know that every time you go around in my will to put something of your own, it is one more divine right that you acquire to ask for a kingdom so holy. This is why, as you go around in it, all the works of creation come forward before you, and all those of redemption line up around you, waiting for you, so as to receive, each one of them, your act, to give you the requital of the act of our works. And you keep tracing them one by one to recognize them, embrace them, to place your little I love you and your kiss of love to make a purchase of them. I just remember now, while reading this, you know, what our parish priest said some days ago. You know, it can really seem to people like outwardly that we're not doing anything, you know, like I mean, we're just going by our lives, that the consecrated people that are contemplative, you know, like we're not kind of contributing in an economy, you know, and these things. But like, as it says, Jesus to Lisa, you know, but actually you're doing everything. I mean, Jesus in us is. And our parish priest said, like, you are like Moses when he was having the hands up, you know. He was holding the hands, and while he was holding them up to sky, the Israelites were winning, you know. And when he was tired, and then he put them down, they were losing. So yeah, that just like came to my mind. It's like a simple gesture, but God kind of he wants of us the simple gestures, but that mean everything.
Yeah, and I think it goes very, thank you, Sister Elizabeth, for that. I think it goes very well with what we just said about, you know, being the refuge. We become the refuge of the Holy Trinity, not because of a fortress that we build, but because of allowing them into our soul, opening up ourselves. You know, it's so interesting. The Church has already declared in Article 507 that Mary, our Blessed Mother, is the perfect model and example of Holy Mother Church. Perhaps down the road, based on that passage, Sister Elizabeth, that the divine will may be classified as the communion of saints. I mean, it would make sense. Again, I'm not making a theological prediction, but that's a possibility based on what the Church speaks about our mother. And last but not least, since we mentioned it twice, the imagination. Talking about passive and active imagination. We have to give up our active imagination to defer to God's imagination, which is infinite. Ours is finite, to bring us to those mystical gifts that we need. And for more on this, I don't have the quotes in on my mind right now, but you can go to St. John of the Cross, who wrote about it. And that's also the passive and active imagination is also found in the Articles of Vatican II. So if you want to do some further research on that, you can find that in both of those places. Back to you, sisters.
Hello. So as Sister Elizabeth was saying, how God wants our simplest acts that mean everything, that actually, so that's basically what doing acts in the divine will are, like the simple acts we do, even the most hidden ones that no one like sees or praises us for. Those are the ones that like So those acts on the divine will, those are the acts that are the most valuable to God, even though in the eyes of the world they may seem very insignificant, like sweeping the floor or mopping or dusting, just those little acts done out of love of God and the divine will, those are the ones that really matter, the ones that are done out of love for Jesus. So the passage I like to share today, it's from volume 12. It's about doing acts in the divine will from September 28, 1917. The acts done in the divine will are suns, which illuminate all and will serve to put in safety those who have a little bit of goodwill. So Jesus tells Louisa, the acts done in my will are like suns which illuminate all, and as long as the act of the creature lasts in my will, one more sun shines in the blind minds, and those who have a little bit of goodwill will find the light to escape from the precipice. All the others will perish. Therefore, in these times of thick darkness, how much good is done by the acts of the creature done in my will? For those who will escape, it will be only by virtue of these acts. So we're living in like very like times full of lots of evil. And I believe that these times we're living in, there's more evil in these times than in the past generations. With like so much abortion and just like the sins of homosexuality and euthanasia and just all these sins that really offend God, and we can and doing these acts in the divine will, we can repair for these sins that are being committed, and we can ask Jesus to come do these acts in us. And the more we do these acts in the divine will, the more we can hasten the kingdom. Thank you.
That's very important. You know, Sister Jacinta, what you just shared with us also, Jesus helps explain to us in volume 35 and 36, it's almost like God's finale. Like he reiterates all those really important things. I mean, everything's important, but really gives us the marching orders. He says in volume 36, July 11th, 1938, speaking about the acts, quote, "The act is not only a way, but as the soul is about to do it, the divine breath descends into it and blowing fills all creation with its omnipotent breath. Everybody feels the refreshment. Everybody feels the love. Everybody feels the power of the creative breath that has the power to enclose everyone and everything." End quote. So again, you talk about the communion of saints. I think it's right here. Sisters?
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to also just, my mind is still working on the passage that you shared with us, and the general the thread of this talk is about moving God. And, you know, and there are different ways of moving God. I mean, we use our imaginations and, of course, calling the divine will to do these acts in all of us. But another avenue also to do this is to put our I love yous and thanksgiving in all of creation. In fact, it's mentioned here in the same volume 23 and the same date that I read earlier. I just looked at it again and I overlooked it a little bit earlier. But Louisa is saying, "Then I continued my acts in the divine will and I offered everything in order to obtain its kingdom upon earth. I wanted to invest the whole creation, animate all created things with my voice so that all of them might say together with me, Fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven. Hurry, hurry, let your kingdom come." So I can put my I love yous in the sun. And that's when I use my imagination, because I cannot be everywhere to see the ocean. I'm not close to the ocean where I am, but I can put in my imagination oceans and fish and turtles, all zoo animals everywhere in the whole world. And I can put my I love you, because they don't have volition. They don't have the voluntary acts to do this thanksgiving to God, but I can put my I love you. So that's one way also. Another way that mentioned in here is to be importunate, to be importunate. And I look it up in the dictionary because my vocabulary is limited. It's basically you're begging God for the kingdom of the divine will, and also to be annoying. And how can it be annoying to God, you know? Well, I said, "Lord, how can I annoy you? You're perfect. You won't get annoyed." But I think within the context of being, you know, like asking incessantly, don't stop. Like
persistence,
asking, you know?
Right?
Persistent, yeah, be yeah, persistent. Yeah. Just like it reminded me of the passage in the Bible. Remember the friend who had a guest coming late in the night, and he didn't have a bread to offer, so he knocks at the door of the neighbor, and the neighbor won't open the door because it was too late and everybody's asleep. But if he wouldn't get up,
for the sake of friendship. If the Lord doesn't move, even as a friendship, or I mean, his daughter, he will not give. If he will refuse to give me that, he will definitely give me because I'm annoying. You know. So of course, you know, I don't think that's a very poor example.
But no, I think it's a good example, sister, because it reminds me also when they lowered the invalid from the roof. I mean, they couldn't get in. Yes, so again, you thought Jesus would be mad at this, but he was moved. God was moved and by their desire.
Yeah, and persistence shows how much we really want it. Sometimes God delays because he wants us to know how much you really, really, really want it. And if you want it, you won't stop asking. So these are the two things that I can think of imagining. And also, you know, before this, Luisa also was talking about, you know, she said, well, you know what? The divine will loves me more than Jesus, because Jesus sometimes hides himself, you know. And I said, how could that be? Because Jesus is one with the divine will. You know, and I'm thinking, how could that be? It's hard to understand this, but she's right. You know, it's the same, but not the same. Because sometimes I feel dry, spiritually dry, and I don't feel the divine will in me. I don't feel the presence of Jesus. But the fact that my heart is beating, the fact that I'm still breathing, I'm still alive, I'm able to move, there is no doubt divine will is in me. My atoms, every atom of my body is still working. So in a way, yes, you know, that. In other words, what Luisa is telling us here is to not do not lose hope. No matter whether we feel good or not, whether we feel dry or wet, whatever, divine will is certainly here. And all we have to do is to ask for this divine will and ask unceasingly. Don't stop asking and have faith.
Yeah, it's also you know, very opposite of what the world, you know, we think about privation as being something negative, but Jesus actually explains to us, I don't have the volume in front of me, he explains to us that this privation that he allows Luisa to experience and allows us to experience, this is our opportunity in faith to love God, to trust God, to have confidence in God, in not seeing God and still retaining these values and these attributes, because it's in this, the privation, that as Jesus states, he allows us to redouble our filling of our voids. Remember, we talked about this. We don't have time to go into it now, but there's two voids. There's a good void that God gives us, which is the space to house God in our souls. And the second void is not a good one. It's the missed opportunities to give glory and honor to God on the level of God. And Jesus says that these voids must be filled for us to enter heaven. So what he's doing here is, through the privation, he's allowing us to sort of double down, redouble our filling of those voids more quickly, so that, again, if we live this gift perfectly, he explains, we can avoid purgatory. But again, perfectly we're talking about. But again, redoubling is just less time we'd have to spend in purgatory. So again, it's an opportunity. It's not a negative. So see, it's all about how you look at things. Everything is balik dad. It really is. Sister Gloria? Got a few minutes left. We got about 4 minutes left.
Yes, you mentioned the refuge, and it's truly our soul. And this, we are in our soul is God's residence. And we, I have a perfect analogy that Jesus used. It's from volume 6, June 6, 1904. And Magdalena's sister also mentioned about divine will operating within us. And Jesus said that it takes courage, fidelity, and greatest attention to follow the divine will operating in us. So this is what Jesus says to her, to Luisa. Our beloved daughter, courage, fidelity, and greatest attention in following what the divinity operates in you. Because everything you do, it is not you who does it. For you do nothing other than give the divinity your soul as residence. It happens to you as to a poor woman who had a little hovel, and the king asks for it as his residence, and she gives it to him, and does everything the king wants. So since the king resides in that little hovel, it contains riches, nobility, glory, and all goods. But to whom do they belong? To the king. And if the king wants to leave, what remains to the poor one? She is left always with her poverty. So here Jesus stresses in this passage that everything we do is a continuous adoration. Jesus tells to Luisa many times to pay attention, to be attentive, to be focused. And Jesus explains why here in this passage is because his divinity is working in us. And this is the life of living in the divine will. And his will works in us, and we work in his will. And we have to pay the greatest attention to follow what his divinity operates in us. And he is inviting us that he will make our doing as his own and unite our doing to his own. So if we are distracted and our mind is scattered, then how can we unite ourselves to Him? And how can it become one? And Jesus is calling us to make our interior one with His interior. And this is why we should have a pure intention for the glory of God. It should be simple and pure, because God is simple and because God is pure. And in everything we do, the intention and purpose should be to unite one in Jesus and to make a perfect harmonization. And for this, we need courage, fidelity, and deep attention, as Jesus said. To pray and act in the divine will, it should conform to the will of God, and it should be inspired and led by the Holy Spirit. And another golden rule, an absolute important condition, is that we should desire it. We should want to do it in the divine will. The more knowledge we have about the divine will and know the value of doing and praying in the divine will, we get more rewards, beauty, and riches of the divine will.
Amen. About 1 minute left, Sister. I feel like a closing thought.
I just want to read the last sentence of the passage that I was reading before, that Jesus say, "What I want is perennial peace in you, so that I may carry out what I want." So we really have to be in peace, because only if we are in peace, God can speak to our hearts. If we are not in peace, there is no place for Jesus in us. So we need to try to be in peace.
Amen. Yeah, it just comes down to, it's really not, we've learned today and other days, that's nothing we have done, but everything of what God has done in us and through us. Again, we have to move God. God gives us what He wants to give us. We take that and we help God and give it to others.
And Peter, don't worry, you know, be at peace and don't worry. And
always at peace. And I'd like to close with a quote from Father John Owen Brown. This really is great medicine to understand this gift and how we can be at peace, like Sister Magdalena just mentioned. From Father John Owen Brown, quote, "Unless we understand the insidious nature of the opponent, the human will, there is no hope of escape. The opponent comes dressed in the clothes of a friend rather than the uniform of a guard, and then betrays us endlessly to our captors. Even worse, the human will convinces us that he is us. What we call life is a vast case of mistaken identity, and until we distinguish our identity from the opponent, we will remain in prison." End quote. Again, like we've talked about it, we finally arrived. God is giving us His gift. Let us move God every day. Let us receive what God wants to give us so that God may give it to all souls, past, present, and future. This is the church. This is our faith. This is our life. God bless everyone. We thank God for this opportunity. We thank Radio Maria for the opportunity to be here. Ciao, everyone.
God bless you.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.